Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to Old Millennials, a deep dive on shallow topics. I am one of your hosts, Margot Poupard.
And I am your other host, Emily Bejin.
And as we trudge on through this seemingly endless quarantine summer, we're back with a mini episode. And this week, we decided to revisit a topic that initially brought us together, and also because it's now currently all season streaming on Hulu, The Hills.
Yay.
We weren't sure if we wanted to watch like a whole season or what, but Emily correctly suggested that we should watch the most iconic episode of them all from season 3, episode 14, Forgive and Forget.
Featuring special guest star Sean Kingston, which I had totally forgot that B-plot very quickly.
My third bullet point says, oh God, Brent Bolthouse, say his name 3 times in the mirror and he'll appear.
God, will Michael Keaton play him though? Important question.
You think he looks like Michael Keaton?
No, I'm joking. Like Beetlejuice. Oh. Like,
oh God. Yeah. I was like, wait, you mean like in the fictionalization or further fictionalization movie adaptation of The Hills for a Lifetime? You think Michael Keaton's going to play Brent Bolthouse? I gotta tell you right now, they don't have the money.
No.
Anyway, this episode is famous because this is the end of Elsie and Heidi. And before we start talking about highlights and traumatic flashbacks as we watch this, because boy, did I have a whole bunch looking at everybody's hair and their clothes and the decor. Oh, I think I have a note that's like, man, these floating shelves in Elsie's apartment are fucking hideous.
Oh my God. I've got 6 bullet points dedicated to fashion for this episode.
But I think, you know, it's really important. I want to know before and after, at the time, were you team Elsie or team Heidi? And has that changed now upon reflection? Because I feel like I had a change of heart, but I was curious how you felt.
Sure. So I was very much team Elsie at the time. Now rewatching it, I don't really care. Like, honestly, at this point, I just, Heidi.
No one.
Yeah. Truly, I think this was blown way out of proportion. Like, Heidi is right. She has no responsibility over what her boyfriend says or didn't say. Like, fuck Spencer. But like, really, Heidi doesn't need to answer for him. It should be Elsie confronting him instead of Heidi. So how do you feel about this after rewatching?
So I guess initially I was team Heidi because I felt the same way as you, like, oh, you can't control your boyfriend and oh, blah, blah, blah. And I also sort of felt like when I first watched The Hills and this was going down, not only was this kind of like the most interesting and kind of to me also like the saddest part, like once they stopped being friends, I will say I kind of started to lose interest in the show. I obviously kept watching because as somebody who's watched literally every season of America's Next Top Model, once you pop, I do not stop. So that was its own thing. But I felt like the end of the relationship, like in your real life, when you break up with your friends, sometimes that's more traumatic than any ex-boyfriend. I can probably tell you specific reasons why girlfriends and I stopped speaking, but could not tell you what bozo excuse some fucking clown gave me when we broke up. And so that's what I felt like was the most real about The Hills. So initially, sure, I was team Heidi. I thought Elsie wanted a way out of her friendship with Heidi when she realized that Heidi was like totally in it with Spencer. And I fully get that. Like, I totally have made scenes about friends, boyfriends at the time, and we have stopped speaking for months and years on end, but that doesn't really matter. So again, it's really relatable. But now in rewatching it, especially as somebody who watches The Real Housewives and Vanderpump Rules, and you know, a lot of reality television has come along since then that I'm fans of and, you know, study as a scholar of the reality TV arts. But now I'm team Elsie because I totally understand. I understand more where she's coming from because I kind of thought that initially when I first watched it, I thought that she was kind of coming across as a little self-righteous, but I know what she means. Like, yes, of course you can't control him, but you can still apologize. You just stood by and you didn't do anything. If she's your good friend, why wouldn't you say something to Spencer without her having even to prompt something? And I do believe Spencer did spread that rumor and then Heidi sort of tackled along. And so if she's your good friend, even if you're, you can still ride hard for your man or whatever, but still maintain your friendship. And I think that she didn't apologize genuinely. And the fact that she, every time, like that confrontation that they have at the fucking Norman Lear Rock the Vault event, which I was like, where am I?
TV showrunner veteran, Norman Lear.
Okay. So you know how we had Trevor on the show when we did the Oscars thing? He can do this really, this game called like 7 Degrees. So he can kind of connect any two random, generally like actors or, you know, screenwriters or whatever together. And my favorite thing that I annoyed him with was I told him to connect Buster Keaton to Misha Barton, which he did. I wonder what the connection is or the degrees of separation between Norman Lear and Lauren Conrad. I mean, even better if it's Whitney Cummings, because there has to, I mean, honestly, I felt so insane. Norman Lear has no idea who these women are, and neither do they know who he is.
No.
I bet if you ask them if they've ever seen All in the Family, they'd have no fucking clue what you're talking about, or they think it was the Urkel show.
No.
But anyway.
But in some ways, was The Hills inspired slightly by the Mary Tyler Moore show, you know, like new beginning for a woman in a city with a new career? I don't know.
I feel like that more closely aligns to me with Whitney's show, The City, because she used to New York, she's in the city. I felt like that, and it was following a single character where I felt like The Hills was always more of an ensemble. Yes. But anyway, the way that Heidi doubles down at that Norman Lear Rock the Vote event or whatever about how, you know, I don't get why you're so mad and I didn't do anything. It's like, you might not have done anything, but if she's your friend, you could at least cop to some responsibility. She never took, as Lisa Rinna would say, she never owned it. She never took any ownership or any responsibility. It's like, oh, it's just Spencer. And at some point in my notes, I write, you know what, Lauren, you're right. Heidi and Spencer are bad people, as we've now come to have complete confirmation of at this point.
You're absolutely, you know what, you are true, right about that. And I think the other thing for me is just like the prevalence 10 years ago or 15 years ago of just like rumors around sex tapes, and just like the everything that happened and the way it went down was already bad enough when this initially happened. But I feel like now, after everything that has gone down, like Spencer wouldn't have even been given like the time of day when it comes to spreading this rumor. Like he would have immediately just been shot down, I think. Like this is something that is so like 2006, 2007, like looking at back at this in 2020 after every, you know, thing that has since, like it would just immediately be like, even if this had been based on a real thing, like it would have immediately come across as just like inappropriate, like slut shaming and all sorts of stuff. It's so funny just though, but like 15 years ago, sex tapes, I mean, were just not the norm, but like certainly I feel like everyone had a rumor at one point going along about them being involved in a sex tape.
Yeah, I feel like there were a lot of sex tape scandals, which we don't really get a ton of anymore because, you know, OnlyFans and Pornhub and kind of like the commodification of all of that. But even just the idea of Elsie having a sex tape then and now to me was like kind of laughable. Like it feels so transparently like a villainous thing that Spencer would do to just kind of get under his skin, because she's I feel like she comes across as like a fairly conservative person.
Yeah,
and she really cherishes her good girl image. I don't think that even with Jason Waller or whatever that she would ever put anything like that in jeopardy.
No.
It's so transparent that it's just Spencer trying to fuck with her and make her annoyed. Yeah, and she was right.
No, and I was absolutely going to say that is like, this is probably what I wrote down in my notes was like, this is probably the raciest thing or juiciest thing that like, Lauren had to deal with on the entire show. Like really all her storylines on Laguna Beach and The Hills were relatively tame in comparison to like some of the others.
I think you could call her like anti-confrontational. Like when things would bother her, she would never bring it up or
have
people, she would never get into it with people. She's sort of passive aggressive, which is kind of why I think a lot of people didn't really like her on the show, or like she couldn't be the star in maybe the way that they wanted to picture like a Mary Tyler Moore, because she did passive aggressive shit. And although it's okay for TV, I think maybe it doesn't make her super compelling. But this was the most dramatic and, I mean, let's be honest, like interesting she got in terms of like the whole show. Other than, you know, you'll always be known as the girl who didn't go to Paris. And I think after that, it was kind of like tough to shake that.
Yeah, no, I would say the same thing. Although later, I believe, isn't it at one point in this season she ends up going to Paris, or am I making that up? Isn't it this
she
season?
She does eventually go.
Right.
I think so. I thought, her and Whitney go together.
Yeah, I think it's the same season. I feel like rewatching this, season one, I remember trying to rewatch and it was like, yeah, it sets the tone, but like it's not that exciting. I feel like it's mid season two that we start to get, it's because, you know, Spencer shows up and we start to get like the show does become a little bit more dramatic. And then season three, I feel like between this episode and then episode one, where, you know, very iconically says, you know what you did at Les Deux. Like that's really for me, I feel like season three is kind of the peak. And of course, like what you said, once their friendship breaks up, Heidi and Lawrence, yeah, I kept watching as well, but you know, the excitement was not quite what it had once been. For me personally, I noted a few fashion highlights. Heidi throughout this whole season wears this anchor cardigan that has like,
oh my God, when she is in the kitchen talking to Kimberly or whatever, I immediately had like a flashback. Cause I remember I mean, I have an anchor tattoo, surprise. And I remember really liking and coveting that sweater. I never got the exact one, but I got kind of like similar nautical themed. Yes. I mean, in between 06 and 08, like nautical themed shit
nautical theme was
on
so
trend
big. For sure.
Why?
I don't know. Yeah, I wore a lot of white flowy skirts. I wore a lot of polo shirts with white flowy skirts and then like a scarf or a headband in your hair. Headbands, another big thing that shows up in this season of The Hills. Lauren's like bringing back navy blue and black nail polish. Like that was a big thing on the show. The other thing I noted was like I had a lot of Forever 21 versions of some of the going out outfits on the show, especially the dresses with the empire waist. Like when we're at the Norman Lear party, Whitney's bow mini dress with tights, I definitely had a Forever 21 version of that dress. Same with like the one Lauren's wearing when they have the major like friend breakup, which meanwhile Heidi's wearing a This Girl's a Genius t-shirt in that final scene with like two hands pointing at her. Like it's just wild to say the least. And then finally, like, of course, Audrina going out with our sparkly helmet king, Justin Bobby, on a date, which I always remember Justin Bobby as being ridiculous, but like rewatching these episodes just reminded me how ridiculous he was, especially when she's
Emily,
like,
the only thing he contributed to the whole episode was burps. And also, Audrina tried to talk him into getting dreadlocks, which is disgusting.
Disgusting.
Nobody needs him in
wrong.
And I think the most interesting thing for me is that he honestly has not, and this is not a compliment, he has not changed between this version of The Hills and the reboot version. He's still an asshole. He's always kind of been an asshole, kind of like fake cool guy. He like thinks he's fucking Johnny Depp. Again, not a compliment.
I can't stand
Justin Bobby.
No.
I totally get why LC was completely not into that. But while we're talking about Audrina, I have to ask, what does she do again? I remember that she's like a receptionist.
So she's a receptionist.
But then she's working with Sean Kingston. She takes him to the Jimmy Kimmel show.
She's a publicist.
And then, oh my God. Yeah. This made me laugh so fucking hard. So Sean Kingston is like doing his rehearsal dry run and he obviously didn't even let them clear the rights to his song because they're playing some
god
awful royalty free song instead.
But you know what I was thinking though, Margo? So with a lot of MTV shows, the reason they've taken so long to put a lot of MTV shows on streaming platforms is because of those. Yeah. So once upon a time, they did have the rights when it originally aired. Like if you watch Daria or any of those shows or like MTV's Undressed, those shows used to have all sorts of hit songs, and same with Real World, but they struck deals back then that were really short term. So it was like for 3 or 4 years, you have the rights to use this song by Oasis or whatever. And after that, they couldn't clear it because of all the things. So when you go back and watch some of those shows, some of them have the original tracks, but a lot of them, if you noticed, I was rewatching some of these episodes, I remember there being like actual songs because they would show you the artist and the name on like the bottom right screen.
Okay. That makes
been replaced.
So much sense because I have I have a note in here where I'm like, I remember there being better music on this show. Yeah, what it's the fuck totally happened?
They do so that with a lot of the MTV shows. Yeah. It. Yeah.
That explains it. All right, great. Well, I think, you know, the only real things that I want to touch on are how much I miss Heidi's old face, which I don't understand why she needed to have an entirely new face. I don't get that. And then we can just talk about the fight. I just was reading a note that says, a couple thorns might prick you. Symbolism.
I said that too. I was like, metaphor? Also, my favorite after that is she immediately goes into, wow, your place looks great. Did you have a cleaning lady come over to clean the place? Like, go immediately with this like petty, backhanded compliment. Bullshit. My God. So fucking shady.
I mean, I really loved, I think some of the stuff that I really liked is like the bad house decor, like I was mentioning, those giant column-esque floating shelves. Also, I'm pretty sure I know where Heidi and Spencer's apartment building was. The ones, again, with the big fake columns on them.
Oh, yeah.
Only because it was the ugliest effing apartment building. And it was like really near like the Beverly Center. And you're like, this building is so fucking ugly.
In college, my roommate and I definitely had those initial, like, I didn't have those exact letters in my apartment with my roommate or our room, but we had, I'd put our initials near each other's, like, and I still have my little letter from Anthropology in my apartment, but like, I definitely was inspired by Audrina and Lauren's apartment to like put our initials next to one another's.
Well, I thought the cutest part of the whole episode was watching like them IM each other, which was just a prototype of an iMessage.
Yes.
Which then, of course, the only scene that Spencer is in this episode, he comes in hot with being a total prick. He's
reading
like fucking
trolling her. What the fuck?
Like breaking into her laptop? What the fuck?
I mean, I don't know.
I feel like this whole show is this whole season is like warning signs for Heidi to like get the hell away from him, which she just either accepts or completely turns a blind eye to. Like, I refuse to believe that she has no idea what's going on. Like, she can try to do this whole Babe in the Woods, Teresa Giudice kind of routine, but I don't fucking buy it with her. Especially the episode that I watched after, because I just let it autoplay, was Heidi and Spencer trying to plan their wedding and them getting into this big fight about how he booked these tickets to go to Vegas. And there's just like a part where he storms off and after he berates her about not wanting to elope. And I was like, this is the time that you don't come back. Like you leave your engagement ring there that looks like honest to God costume jewelry and you don't ever look back. But he's just so fucking smarmy. And I truly feel like he was creepier then than he is now, even though he's still, you know, not great Bob. But I fucking Spencer, I appreciate that he is so willing to be the villain of all of this.
Right. And honestly, you know what? I have to say, and again, not a compliment, but he has very much stayed true to who he was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. He has not changed.
Yes, Emily,
much.
Because he's a bad person.
No,
I agree with Lauren. He's a bad person.
He is a bad person. Also, I got to say something because Spencer, and it's weird to see like clean shaven Spencer again, where he looks like the little boy in The Incredibles. Like he looks exactly like the little boy in The Incredibles. But then as we've talked about before, like, blonde men with blonde facial hair always freaks me out a little bit too. It like makes it's weird. So I don't like it either way when it comes to Spencer, like hair, facial hair, no facial hair. He sucks.
So The big breakup fight between Heidi and Lauren is, you know, I wouldn't say anticlimactic, I guess. Yeah. Maybe at the time you might have been led to believe through trailers and stuff that they would possibly reconcile. But I feel like it's pretty apparent. Like, I got to say, there's a note in here where I talk about how I think that Whitney is one of the best Office Friends characters in reality TV. Because there's that scene where Lauren is IMing Heidi and Whitney is just like chattering back. I'm like, what's she saying? What's going on? I'm just trying to be helpful. What's happening? Oh my God, you're going to see her? What are you going to say? Are you guys going to be friends? And I just really appreciated her sort of like Wilson-iness from Home Improvement. Is that his name?
Wilson.
She just kind of has that vibe. And in the next episode that I watch, she like goes on this date with this cornball fucking personal trainer And I could see why she had her own spinoff show. And I could also see, I could remember why I was really excited to see her in this reboot, and that she's just sort of like, she is too well adjusted and normal to kind of like play it up on reality. She's such a good friend of. But the fight between Lauren and Heidi, I mean, it seems pretty, it's from the second that she walked in, when she just wouldn't accept any responsibility, but she kind of gave her, that shitty half-ass apology. She's like, I'm sorry if Spencer did something on behalf of Spencer, which is like a don't expect him to apologize thing, which I think a lot of us have, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking too broadly, but like a lot of us have experienced our friends' significance, others doing fucked up shit that kind of like, that you get inadvertently dragged into, and you totally would like an apology, but you know it's never going to come, and it's always your friend who's apologizing on their behalf. And so it's just really fucking infuriating.
I think the big thing in this fight was just like, honestly, there was nothing changed. That like Heidi exactly comes over, she says her piece, but honestly, she just says the same things that she has been saying this entire season. Not a single thing she changes. She starts to change.
She right starts to cave a little about this. Maybe if Spencer possibly was a little bit involved, then I'm sorry you feel that way. It's like, it's a great reality show villain apology. And I think that Lauren is actually extremely mature. And instead of just like yelling at her or whatever, I think that she does a good job. She says that she accepts her apology. I was like, girl, where was the fucking apology? Because I did not hear one, but whatever. And I don't know if she thought of it. I feel like it was too good and too clean for her to have not thought of, I want to forgive you and I want to forget you ahead of time. Because I felt like maybe that's where like a little bit of the scriptedness comes from. But I feel like fights or these big kind of like climactic showdowns, you have to at least in your head, whether in real life or on for reality show purposes, you kind of got to map it out, or else you're going to get real into the weeds where you're just in like a circular argument, which is where Heidi is, which is why she falls into the villain category. But if you come in with sort of a narrative already, you have your exit line all planned out, you can kind of come away clean looking like the good guy, I guess, because you're diffusing the situation instead of feeding into it, which is like what people at home are like screaming, right?
Right. I mean, at this point, coming out of that thing, I actually thought to myself, did this meeting encounter it was a 5-minute encounter. Heidi drops off the flowers, reiterates what she said. Maybe sort of cops to, maybe she knew that Spencer maybe said this and she maybe had something to do with it. But, you know, she can only say, I'll apologize on behalf of him and blah, 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 blah. Like that's, and then I want to forgive you and I want to forget you. And then that's it. It literally took Heidi longer to walk up to Lauren's apartment, walking around the pool, than it does for the entire apology scene, including cleaning lady comment.
When she walked by the pool, I was like, are you lost? Why are you walking? Just go in. Like, why do we need this? But I know that everybody loves that I want to forgive you, I want to forget you line. But I think another classic, like, I told you so kind of thing is, like, have a great life. I hope you have a great life.
Oh, my God.
I just cackled. It was just so dumb. Because Heidi is, I wouldn't say obsessed with her, but, like, I feel like LC factors in more heavily to Heidi and Spencer's life than the other way around.
Oh,
so
for sure.
I don't know if there's necessarily definitive winners or losers of anything like this, but it is interesting that you and I both kind of lost a little bit of interest once Heidi and Lauren stopped being friends.
Well, and then they just tried to bring back Lo, and it's just like, and I liked Lo on Laguna Beach, but I really found her to be just uneventful on Bills. Like it's just unnecessary. So yeah, I mean, it keeps going and it, you know, the show's on and of course there's like the wedding and all that, but yeah, I mean, that's, you know, you start out with like one friendship on the show, even though I know with housewife franchises, like those evolve all the time. But I think there was just this one friendship was so core to the show's beginning, and there weren't too many other established friendships at the beginning of the show that to have really focused the focal point of your show being this one particular friendship versus like three or four other friendships, for that big one to just like end and then you try to make something out of other ones just never really worked for me.
Yeah, I agreed. But oh, the Hills. Are you going to go back and rewatch any of the older seasons? I can't believe these episodes are only 20 minutes. In my mind, they're 40.
They're 40 minutes. I know. I thought the same thing. I'm what, but like commercials. There were so many commercials.
I guess that's true. But even still, it would have been like about a half hour or so. Yeah. I still thought it was like almost an hour, maybe not. But yeah, I was truly shocked to find that out. I was like, 20 minutes. Okay, great.
Yeah, I can watch like a season in 3 or 4 hours, basically.
I think it's great to rewatch The Hills while you like fold laundry or clean out your email inbox or
there's
just a 3 minutes passive
of
background watch. Oh, yeah. 20, and don't worry. Like Many Days Fiance, they will and Fast and the Furious, they will constantly be recapping what they do the opposite of what David Mamet says. They recap the scene that just happened for you in the current scene before they move on to the next scene while they're setting up the next scene. So
it's great.
It's, you know, just constant exposition.
It's like you could, you know, there's like telling time in like in Hill's years. It's like 3 minutes of any other TV show. Oh, that's 20 Hill minutes. You know, like that's how I kind of tell time in The Hills.
Yeah. And if nothing else, rewatch it for just the bonkers, weird early 2000s events they all go to.
Events.
Norman Lear, Defend Your Voice or whatever it's called. Oh, God, I wrote it down.
Speaking of going to places in the Hills.
DeclareYourself.com.
I have decided that if we make, like, the moment we have people willing to buy merch for our podcast, we need to make a shirt that says Les Deux. Like, it's supposed to be Le Deux, but using the same lettering, but spelled L-A-Y, separate word, D-O-O. Because the jarring, like, hearing Spencer and Heidi and Lauren while rewatching some of these episodes just keep saying Les Deux, Les Deux over and over again is just, as a French speaker,
I totally jarring. Understand, but I really need to point out to you that no one wants to pay for a shirt that says do on it with two That's O's.
This is true. This is true.
I just feel like I cannot leave you out there like that.
I know.
Maybe we can talk about some other merch ideas later. I feel like we talked for longer than this episode, so I think we should wrap it up.
We should wrap it up.
If you want to read about some fun pop culture deep dives, we are on Medium and you can find us at Old Millennials Pod. We've got a music appreciation post coming out about Josie and the Pussycats. We have old posts that correspond to some previous episodes that we have. We have a deep dive on the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. Lots of good stuff there. We are also on Instagram and Facebook at The Old Millennials Pod. And if you enjoyed this, please do us a favor and rate and review us because it helps other people find it, as well as good old-fashioned telling other people about us. You can also follow us individually on Twitter. I am at Marg She Wrote.
And I'm at Emily A. Vision.
And until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.